Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Scheltemer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, literary festival organizer and well-known mystery author, Janet Keller. Janet, Women Killing It is an engrossing project. I bought my ticket and I'm looking forward to it. But we're also thrilled to hear that you have been shortlisted for the Arthur Ellis Award for Best Book in 2016. That's very prestigious. So tell us about the awards and who gives them.
These are awards given out by the Crime Writers of Canada, which is the professional association in Canada for crime and mystery writers. The Arthur Ellis Award, Arthur Ellis refers to the last hangman in Canada. That was his pseudonym, so that's where that name came from. But every year they give out a number of awards, and the sort of the big prize is the best novel award. And the best novel shortlist is chosen by people who actually work in the field. So these are other writers and reviewers and people who really have the ability to take a look at a work and decide how it's working. And for that reason, it is just hugely, hugely prestigious. And I was just absolutely flabbergasted that I was shortlisted. I knew that the shortlists were being announced and wasn't really paying that much attention. That's how far off the radar it was. And it wasn't until my husband got on Facebook the next morning and he said, "Get in here," because there were all these people congratulating me and I had no idea why.
Well, well, that's wonderful.
It really was wonderful. It was a real validation for me.
Absolutely. Well, you were in earlier this year telling us about Wishful Seeing. And listeners, if you missed that, you can listen to that program at our website, wordonthehills.com. But today, you're going to tell us about a new book that you released. Also, Thaddeus Lewis?
Yes, it is Thaddeus Lewis.
So, tell us about that.
Okay, well, it picks up almost exactly where Wishful Seeing left off. He's still in Coburg, but he's on the verge of leaving. Okay, he has not had a happy time in Coburg. I really wasn't very nice to poor Thaddeus in Wishful Seeing. I made it up to him in the new one, which is called The Heart Bomb Tort. A heart bomb tort is a legal action that is instituted in order to compensate someone for an affair of the heart that has gone awry in some way.
Okay.
So that would be alienation of affection or reneging on a promise to marry, or the most common one would be a seduction suit.
Okay,
so that's kind of what the book starts with, is this heart bomb tort. We were introduced to a young barrister called Towns Ashby in Wishful Seeing, and he has contacted Thaddeus in this book and asked for help in investigating what started as a heart bomb tort and quickly developed into a case of arson and murder.
Oh, wow.
So Towns Ashby needs Thaddeus to go and investigate. According to the deal that Thaddeus and his granddaughter Martha made at the end of the last book, she's coming too. And so they all end up in London, Ontario, which was great fun for me because I didn't really know anything about the history of London, Ontario, and had a wonderful time finding out about it and found all sorts of things to incorporate into the book. Again, he runs across an old adversary, a woman by the name of Clementine Elliott, and her son, Joe. She's a con artist. She previously showed up in the second book in the series, Sowing Poison, and sort of went head-to-head with Thaddeus and skipped out of town, and he hasn't heard anything from her since, but she turns up in London, and some surprising things happen.
Right. So now we have characters from previous books. We have a pickup on a previous plot, but is this new book also a standalone if you've never read the series?
Absolutely. If you've never read the series, you can pick this up and just read it and have a good time with it. But I think the Thaddeus fans are going to go a little nuts when they see who I brought back. It's turning into this one big kind of... It's an interesting series in that it's moving forward in history, but it's also moving forward in terms of Thaddeus and his personal history as well. And so I've been able to sort of go back and pull back in characters and just, I'm really having a wonderful time with it.
Because over the, if I remember rightly, over the series, you're aging him and, and all that sort of thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. The other lovely thing is the changing relationship that he has with his granddaughter, Martha. She has lived with Thaddeus since she was a baby and her mother was murdered. So Thaddeus is her rock. He really is. But she's growing up now, and she's starting to interact with him as an adult, more and more as an adult. And so you get this change in how they're relating with each other, which is really kind of fun.
Yeah, and that's great for the reader, too, because you're not meeting the same person over and over again. You're meeting an evolved person.
That's right, that's right. And Thaddeus himself is changing, too, of course.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, are you going to read us a bit from that?
I would love to read you a bit. I'm going to read you a very exciting bit where Martha runs into trouble. She had taken only a step when someone wrenched her arm and clapped a hand over her mouth, then dragged her over to the wagon. She was flung over the side so hard that the breath was knocked out of her, and she couldn't scream in the split second before someone stuffed a wad of cloth into her mouth. Her arms were pulled roughly behind her back and rope wound tightly around her wrists. She tried to kick at her assailant, but he grabbed her legs and tied those, too. She was helpless as he bound her gag in place and unceremoniously threw a blanket over her. Her heart was pounding, and she found it difficult to catch her breath through the cloth that had been jammed into her mouth. She twisted her hands frantically, trying to pull them free, but they had been too firmly tied. She was helpless. Calm down. Breathe. She forced herself to take air in through her nose in measured breaths, and she was rewarded when her heart stopped thudding quite so wildly. The wagon started to move. She tossed her head free of the blanket that covered it, and then twisted her hands again, but she couldn't bend them far enough to discern where the knot might be. Think. There must be something you can do. She wondered if she could get herself upright so that someone might see her and intervene. The wagon stopped after rolling forward only a few feet. The driver must be waiting to make sure that no one would see him when he pulled out onto the street. Even if she were able to sit up, she knew that there would be no one to see her. It was supper time. Everyone was inside. A fresh panic hit her. Calm down. Think. She needed to get free of the ropes that bound her. She tried to pull her hands apart, but there was little give in the knot. And then one finger brushed against the loose edge of the decorative frog braid that held her left pocket closed. Her dress had been rucked up and pulled sideways when she was thrown so roughly into the bed of the wagon. She strained her arms, shifted her body to one side, and found that she could reach the frog just well enough to stick her little finger through a loop. She pulled. Nothing. On the second try, she yanked as much as she was able and was rewarded when it ripped partially away. One more hard tug and she had it. She needed to find a way to leave the frog in the open, out on the street, so her grandfather would know she'd been there when he came looking, for there was no doubt in her mind that Thaddeus would look for her when she failed to appear in the sitting room. She kicked at the blanket and pulled it away far enough so that her hands were exposed. She would have only one chance. She would need to flick it over the side of the wagon, hard, just like Joe had shown her how to do with the wooden dice. She squirmed around until she was facing away from the back of the wagon, and then, when it lumbered into the street, she let the piece of braid fly.
Tell me it made it into the street.
I'm not telling you anything. You're going to have to read the book.
Well, thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Janet Kello, crime writer, and one of the organizers of Women Killing It, Crime Writers Festival in Picton, in Prince Edward County, on September 1st and 2nd. So remind listeners, please, how to get tickets for the festival.
Okay, you can just go, you can Google Women Killing It, or just go straight to the Eventbrite Canada site and look for Women Killing It. And we have a Facebook page, and we also have tickets at Books and Company in Picton.
Wonderful. And then your own book, presume you can get it from all the usual suspects?
All the usual suspects, yes.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
And listeners, if you would like to connect with us here at Word on the Hills, you can go to our website, wordonthehills.com, and leave your comments, queries, or suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. If you've missed a program and would like to listen to one again, you'll find all our broadcasts archived at the website too. You can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, Sunday at 1 p.m., repeated on Thursdays at 1 a.m., on Northumberland 897 FM, truly local radio.